Amen. Thank you, Andy. Well, good morning, everyone. And I don't know about you, but hey, it's getting much closer to Christmas. And as you can see, I've got my poinsettia in the background, and I've actually got on my Christmas earrings. If you can see those. And this year we thought, well, maybe we should be decorating the outside of the house rather than the inside of the house. And then, of course, we've got all the preparation of who's going to come for Christmas. We've got to choose. What are we going to eat? Massive preparation. And for me, the start of the Christmas preparation is the story of Liz, Zach, and baby John. Now, just a little disclaimer here. Just before we went on live, my Andy came to me and said, oh, you've spelt Zachariah wrong. So I looked up my Amplified Bible and they spell it Zachariah with an A. But in Andy's Bible, the NIV, it's spelt with an E. So there might be a bit of a discrepancy there. But anyway, back to the story of Elizabeth, Zachariah and baby John. And I imagine that the preparation for this first Christmas in the heavenlies must have been enormous. We have in my mind angels rushing around, getting things ready. That Star of Bethlehem, which was actually sent off, so the scientists tell me, from the time of the creation of the universe. And it's getting closer to planet Earth. And then suddenly, God calls Angel Gabriel into his throne room. And Gabriel is given his mission of being the messenger to first go to Zachariah to tell him that Elizabeth and Zachariah are going to have a baby. And they're going to be the parents of this child who is going to grow up to be Jesus's warm-up act, his wingman. And this is the preparation for the birth of the Messiah. And John had a huge plan, a huge part to play in it. And I'm just going to see if I can share my screen. Can you see that? Am I on? Let me just move this out the way from the beginning. Right. So this story comes to you from Luke chapter 1. And it begins with our couple, Zachariah and Elizabeth. Now, they were an elderly couple, and I know that they're quite old there, but I imagine that they were probably mine and Andy's age. I guess we're elderly now, but we're certainly past childbearing age. And they were content, but really there was a huge sadness in their lives because they were never able to have any children. And now it just so happened that it was Zachariah's village. It was their turn to go up to the temple to burn the incense for the atonement of the people. And Zachariah, being just a humble priest, a humble village priest, his luck was in. And as they drew lots, Zachariah was the one who was chosen to go up to the temple. So off he went to the temple, where suddenly, as he's in the Holy of Holies, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Now, I don't know how many people have seen an angel, but I guess from the people who have spoken about their experiences of seeing an angel, it's pretty scary. And Zachariah, as you can see, well, was a bit shocked. And the angel Gabriel said to him, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible because it's quite complicated and there are lots of instructions that Zachariah was given. And angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, because your petition in prayer was heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have great joy and delight, and many will rejoice over his birth. For he will be great and distinguished in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or liquor. And he will be filled with and empowered to act by the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. A little reference to his reaction when he heard Mary, the mother of Jesus' voice, while he was still in utero. Back to Gabriel. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back from sin to love and serve the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner for him, before him, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, which is to seek and submit to the will of God, in order to make ready a people perfectly prepared, spiritually and morally, for the Lord. Wow, that was a bit of a shock for Zechariah. And he was a man who had suffered many years of disappointment over his childlessness. And he was not inclined to get his hopes up. So he questioned Gabriel. Now, I don't know what Zechariah said, but possibly he did a little laugh of disbelief. Yeah, right. But whatever it was, wow, he annoyed Angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel wasn't just any angel. He was the archangel, rose himself up to his full height. And he said to Zechariah, "Silence, how dare you question me? I come straight from the throne room of God. You will be silent and you will remain silent until baby John is born." And off he went. And Zechariah was left speechless. He came out of the Holy of Holies, and the crowds were really worried about him because he'd been there far longer than he should have been. But they could see by his face that he had had some sort of encounter with God. But of course, Zechariah couldn't tell them. And when he had finished his duties, he went back to Elizabeth, who welcomed him with open arms. And they conceived a baby. And 9 months later, baby John was born. Now, when it came time for the baby to be named, they came to Elizabeth and they said, "We're going to name him Zechariah after his father." And Elizabeth said, no, his name's going to be John. And they all said, no, this is Zechariah's baby. This is Zach's guy. He's got to be named after him. This is tradition. You know, you've waited so long for a baby. And Elizabeth said, no. His name's going to be John. So they called Zechariah over and they said, "Zechariah, Elizabeth wants to name this baby John. What do you say?" And Zechariah called for a writing tablet. And he wrote on the tablet, "His name is John." And at that very moment, Zechariah was able to speak again. And Zechariah and Elizabeth brought up the baby according to the archangel Gabriel's instructions. And John grew and became strong in spirit, ready to take his place in history. And now we're going to have the Bible reading. And I'm just going to get Andy to come through into this computer because the sound on his is not so great. And the reading is the Song of Zechariah.
Morning. Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel."
Thanks. Just pass it on now to Well, thank you, John. So now it's back to Liz and Zach, and I want to take a closer look at Elizabeth and Zechariah. What kind of people were they that God entrusted them with the care and upbringing of John the Baptist? Not only did they have the task of caring for him and teaching him about God, but they also had to protect him during the destruction of all the babies under 2 years old.
Yes, I often thought the same.
In the Nativity. John was only 6 months older than Jesus, and so it must have been a pretty scary time. Now, how does God prepare us for our own life's purpose or mission? And I guess we all start off a little bit like this dough. God creates us, and some of you have been making biscuits with dough, so some of you will have used my recipe, and some of you will have used maybe your mum's recipes, or bought biscuits, and this is gingerbread. Distinct gingerbread flavour there. And we all have our own distinct flavouring, but we're all like this lump of dough. And we've got to, before we can do anything with it, we have to straighten it out a bit, flatten it out. So God uses many different things and ways to flatten us out. And in life, we're made straight by those around us, like our parents, our teachers, siblings, spouses, bosses, youth leaders, church ministers, mentors. And you know, being straightened out and disciplined is not easy. And it's not comfortable. And in Hebrews 12, verse 11, it says, "For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose." So here we are, we've been flattened out, we've been straightened, and now we give our lives to God. We make that choice, we make that decision. And God imprints his image. Now, I'm just going to pretend that this gingerbread cookie cutter is God, and it's his image that he imprints on us right in the center of our being. Oh, it's quite thick. So now There we are. There's us with God's image imprinted in us. But you can see we've got a bit of a problem here. There's a bit too much of us. And so God molds us and shapes us. And some of these things just in our lives just have to go. So what about our selfishness? Putting ourselves first. You know, maybe for Zachariah, maybe he wanted to be some hotshot priest up in Jerusalem, but he chose to stay in his village because Elizabeth needed him while she was trying to conceive. She needed the comfort of her family and friends. And thinking of friends, what about God asking you to lessen contact with those friends who aren't really helping you to get closer to God, but possibly even drawing you away from him? They might have to go. Or maybe it's watching movies or TV programs or streamlining, or if you're really young and hip and trendy, twittering and I don't know, all those sorts of things. Maybe reading books as well that just don't really honor God. They more or less dishonor God. They have to go. And what about things like using the resources that God has given us unwisely? You know, everything we have has been given to us by God. It all belongs to him anyway. And we need to be good stewards. So maybe some of our resource using has to go. And what things has God challenged you to remove? Well, God's now, he's straightened us out. He's molded us and, oh my, look what we look like. Oh my word, we look a little bit like Jesus. Oh, we've learned a lot of things. We've done a lot of things. But of course, now comes the time of testing to make sure that all those things that we have learned and put into practice, it's a bit like studying for an exam. You learn, you study, and then you go through that test to see how much of it has actually gone from your head to your heart. And so we get the test. We go through the fire. So, young gingerbread man, off to the oven you go and be tested. And while we're waiting for him to cook, let's think. Oh, let's get this out of the way. Elizabeth and Zachariah, they were refined just as we are. They were older, and God had more time to refine them. So it stands to reason that the older we are, hopefully we're wiser, kinder, and more like God. It's a process. It's a process. So everyone in this room here, in this Zoom room here, has been tested. And we're tested many times in our lives. It's not just once, it's again and again. And if you talk to anyone here, they will have their own testimony. They'll have their own different personalized story to tell. You know, God doesn't have a one size fits all. He doesn't have tick boxes. He looks at each one of us and he develops us into his image kindly, with compassion, and according to who we are. We're tested with different things and at different times. And one of Elizabeth's testings, Elizabeth and Zach's testings, was their childlessness. Now, I don't know if you all know, but I do some work with the Choices Pregnancy Centre here in Exeter. where we walk through couples who have had some sort of baby loss. And it is a great privilege to be able to do this. But the pain that people have, and I'm just thinking here now of that family, that couple that Norman prayed for, who have just lost a child. And it's not easy. And for those couples who've been unable to conceive, there is that incredible hope dashed each month with disappointment and sorrow when there is no pregnancy. And there are many people who, in today's age, go down the IVF route. And sadly, the statistics of that being successful are not good. And a lot of marriages or relationships don't actually survive that. But we know that Elizabeth and Zachariah, that their marriage did survive it. Because when Zachariah came back from the temple, Elizabeth greeted him with joy. She conceived a baby, and there must have been a great deal of communication between the two of them, because Zachariah couldn't speak. And yet Elizabeth knew all about what the angel had said, even to the point where she knew that John's name was going to be John. So when we've been tested, we often need to walk through a period of grief and coming to terms with what's happened. And if anyone here is going through that, I really urge you to find some good Christian counsel to help you walk through it. So we can come out of the testing burnt and bitter, or we can come out of the testing with the fruits of the Spirit in our lives developed and matured. And it says the fruits of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, if we find ourselves burnt and bitter, we can ask God for healing to soften our hearts and to remold us. And we know that Liz and Zach's life experience had not made them bitter. And how do we know this? Well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she found out that she was pregnant after a visitation from an angel, who did she run straight to for comfort and counsel? It was Elizabeth and Zachariah. And if they were bitter and closed up, Mary wouldn't have gone to them. Instead, they supported her, they helped her to make sense of everything that was happening to her. And it was here with Elizabeth that Mary's song, the Magnificat, was recorded, the one that starts with, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Now, we have come out. Am I on the screen, or is it John that's on the screen? Can somebody, I don't know.
You're there, Audrey. You're there. Yeah. We can see you.
Right, so we've got our refined man, gingerbread man. Are we going to stay like this, or are we going to let the Holy Spirit develop in us the fruits of the Spirit? How are we going to be decorated? So I ask you, have you been tested? Did you come out burnt and bitter? Or did you allow the experience to mold and shape you, maturing the fruits of the Spirit within you? How are you going to decorate your life? So my challenge to all of us at this time of Advent preparation is to take a good look at how easily we allow God to straighten us out, mold us into his image, and how we let the fruits of the Spirit develop and mature in our lives. Are we getting ready for Jesus? And so I am just going to pass you over now to Andy, because I believe the children have been decorating their own biscuits, and it'll be really great to see how they're getting on.
Audrey, thank you.